Today is Saturday, August 8th. Good morning for WRCO News. I'm Caitlin O'Connell. The Richland School District Board of Education has officially scheduled a special meeting for Monday. The meeting is set to commence at 6:30 and will be held at the Richland School Board Conference Room, situated at 1996 U.S. Highway 14 West in Richland Center. The primary focus of the evening's agenda involves a motion to convene in closed session. This session is intended to conduct a pupil expulsion hearing and to allow for the necessary deliberations concerning the matter as permitted by state statute. The board is expected to take formal action during this closed portion of the meeting. In addition to the expulsion hearing, the board will review and consider potential revisions to previous orders of pupil expulsion that have been issued. Furthermore, the members will evaluate a specific request for the expungement of an order of pupil expulsion. Once the board has addressed all items on the agenda or declined to take further action, the meeting will conclude with a motion to adjourn the meeting from the closed session. The Village of Spring Green Board of Trustees will convene for a meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. During this session, the board will address new business, specifically the discussion and potential action regarding proposed amendments to Order 180 concerning bicycle and play vehicles. Additionally, the meeting will feature an information session regarding the 2027 budget timetable for the Village of Spring Green. Now that August is underway, that means a new school year will be arriving soon. The Richland School District will be holding an upcoming event to help students prepare for the school year. Dr. Johnson is Director of Curriculum at the Richland School District.
This coming Tuesday, August 11th, is when we have super registration. So it's a time when families can join us at the high school. All students and their families can come, and they would come there to make sure that they have all of their paperwork finished for the school year to know that they're enrolling. And that information is coming out soon. They should receive some communication soon on how to do that, because they can do that part virtually if they want, if they've been a student of ours previously. If they're a new student, they for sure should join us at this time because they can get enrolled on this date also.
While attending super registration, if you need assistance, there will be plenty of help available.
We will have people there helping with online registration. We'll have people helping with paper registration. We'll have people there helping with logins. If families are like, oh, I don't want to do this because I don't know how to log in, we have people there for that. We have people there who can speak Spanish. We have people there who will help with fees.
There will be representatives of organizations and groups available to answer any questions about transportation, extracurricular activities, sports, and more. You can also get your class picture taken at the event. Along with registering and getting questions answered, there will be other activities at super registration.
There's going to be food trucks that are going to be out there that you can come and get ice cream or food. You can check out the building, not a full building tour, but you can at least see, you know, the commons, and you can see the gym if you're new to the area. I'm impressed by our facilities, and I think it's always great for people to come out and see our maintenance staff. They've just done this amazing job with all that's happening. They're still rocking it when it comes to making sure our facilities look so new.
Super registration for the Richland School District will get underway Tuesday morning starting at 8 o'clock at the Richland Center High School. You can find out more information on the Richland School District website or by calling the district office at 608-647-6106. The USDA reports for the week ending August 2nd, Wisconsin experienced 5.7 days suitable for field work. While southern and eastern regions received much-needed rainfall, dry conditions persisted in the northwestern areas. Topsoil moisture conditions were rated 9%, very short, 21% short, 68% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture conditions were similar, with 7% very short, 20% short, 70% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn progress was steady with 72% silking, which is on par with a 5-year average, and 16% reaching the dough stage. Corn condition remained strong with 72% rated as good to excellent. Soybean development was slightly ahead of schedule with 86% blooming compared to the 81% average and 53% setting pods. The soybean crop maintained a 70% good to excellent condition rating. Oats were 93% coloring, outpacing the 90% average, and 41% had been harvested. The overall condition of oats was rated 77% good to excellent. Winter wheat harvesting reached 69% completion, matching the 5-year average. Hay production continued, with the third cutting of alfalfa reaching 50% completion, ahead of the 47% average. The condition of all hay was rated 70% good to excellent, while pasture and range condition was rated 54% good to excellent. That's all for the week ending of August 2nd. A benefit for Jolie Newkirk will be held tomorrow from 3 until 8 at the Buena Vista Bicentennial Park in Gotham. There will be a car cruise, a silent auction, and a bucket raffle, along with some other raffles. There will also be barbecue chicken dinner at 5 o'clock. All proceeds will go to Jolie Newkirk. If you'd like to donate, please contact Jessica Wanneke at 608-604-1396 or Lori Ripsummer at 608-485-1272. A new policy proposal from the Department of Health and Human Services has sparked significant concern among early childhood advocates in Wisconsin, who warn that the rule could effectively dismantle the Head Start program. Published yesterday, the federal regulation aims to simplify requirements and reduce administrative burdens, but local leaders like Jenny Maurer of the Wisconsin Head Start Association argue the changes would roll back essential standards for teacher qualifications, classroom staffing ratios, and family support services. Maurer contends that these rollbacks would undermine the quality of care and jeopardize the future of funding for a program that currently serves over 12,000 Wisconsin families. The potential impact is particularly acute in rural Wisconsin, with nearly 70% of children already residing in daycare deserts. In many of these communities, Head Start remains the sole licensed provider of early childhood education. Maurer fears that the proposed rule represents a dangerous progression toward losing these vital services entirely in rural areas. Furthermore, the regulation introduces a rigid language requirement that would mandate all education be conducted in English. Advocates point out that this is highly impractical for regions like Western Wisconsin, where many classrooms consist of Spanish-speaking 3-year-olds who require native language support to effectively transition to English literacy. While federal officials maintain that the changes are necessary for cost reduction and accountability, critics of the program point to past reports highlighting high costs and inconsistent long-term results as justification for reform. Maurer acknowledges that while improvements can always be made, the current proposal threatens the very elements that made Head Start successful. As the program continues to grapple with funding delays and regional closures, the next 60 days will be a critical window for community members to participate and the public comment period and voice their perspectives on the future of the Head Start program. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and Senator Jerry Moran, a Republican from Kansas, along with a group of colleagues, have introduced a Supporting Underserved and Strengthening Transparency, Accountability, and Integrity Now 340B Act. This bipartisan legislation seeks to reform the 340B drug pricing program, which provides discounted prescription drugs to healthcare providers serving vulnerable and underserved patients. The act aims to bring greater stability, clarity, and transparency to the program by establishing several key reforms. These include redefining eligible patients and covered services, clarifying the use of contract pharmacies, and introducing new annual reporting requirements for covered entities. The legislation also proposes establishing a 340B data clearinghouse to prevent duplicate discounts and diversions, while requiring covered entities to adopt standardized financial assistance policies for patients at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. Furthermore, the bill strengthens program integrity by gaining the Department of Health and Human Services authority to enforce compliance and establish oversight procedures for child sites. The Senate 340B bipartisan working group, which has supported the program for over a decade, developed this legislation following feedback from stakeholders. By addressing concerns about program ambiguity and ensuring patient-first care, the Sustain 340B Act intends to sustain the benefits the program provides to eligible providers and the communities they serve.